Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, could be, maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
Hello, listeners. Thanks once again for joining us for This Week in Mormons, where we're going to talk about Mormon news and good times all around. And to our American listeners, happy week of Thanksgiving. By the time many of you listen to this, it might be Thanksgiving. I know what you will do with your day off on Thanksgiving.
To our American listeners, Jeff, as far as we're concerned, we're all American in our hearts, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, more or less.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Canada, Australia, any other English-speaking country that
living
wishes you were America.
Living in America. I'm living in America.
Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, no.
I'm going
to. I love living in New Zealand. It's the best. I would never go anywhere else. I submit to you, you drive on the wrong side of the road. That enough should be reason to wish to be in America.
Yeah. My understanding is driving on the roads of New Zealand can be a harrowing experience for many.
They've harrowed me a number of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So New Zealand, you get. Also, for making the Hobbit trilogy, you get
a lovely wine country, but and Queenstown, great. Your sounds that are actually fjords, very delightful. But let's be honest, once you get up to Wellington, crap, all the way north to Auckland.
Now, should we also knock the other Anglophone countries that are big? Australia, you know, there are many Anglophone countries, but the main ones.
Yes.
Canada, what's that all about?
Never heard of it.
Australia, not bad. I just want to give Perth a shout out for being in the middle of nowhere, though, and existing. So good for you, Perth. Yeah. The rest of you, it's all populated East Coast stuff, but Perth.
All I know about Australia is what I've learned from Quigley Down Under.
Which is a fantastic film, and it confused me as a young man that it was called Quigley Down Under, as if that was a sequel, kind of like The Rescuers Down Under, you know?
I'm sorry, what?
The movie's
called...
You didn't
know Down Under meant Australia in the Down Under?
I know it meant Australia, but when you add a little tag like that, it makes it seem like it's a sequel. Like, the first movie might have just been called Quigley, and then now we have Quigley Down Under, you know? But it wasn't.
Please tell me you looked high and low for a Quigley, the prequel.
I did at one point, but then I realized that was just the movie stands alone. That's all it is. And when you have seen The Rescuers Down Under, it's particularly confusing, because that is a sequel to The Rescuers.
I'm already bored with this topic of conversation.
I'm bored with your face.
I just wanted to insult every other English-speaking country that's not America on this, our day, the Thanksgiving weekend, because that's our right as an American.
And the only English-speaking countries, as far as we're concerned, are America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Great Britain. Belize? Don't care. Ghana? Doesn't matter. None of these? Nope. We don't care. Yeah. Ireland? What is that?
Ireland is part of the UK, Wales, Scotland, all part of the Greater Kingdom.
Well, Northern Ireland's part of the UK.
All I want to know is
the other part's not, and that's been the source
of
great
conflict.
Who
is on your money? The Queen. Therefore, you are part of her.
Well, not in Ireland, Dublin. You know they're on the Euro, right? It's a different country.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You went to Ireland. Like, was that this year? Come on, son.
No, that was last year. On the cliffs of Moher. I lived on the cliffs of Moher. And I went to Bunratty Castle with all the other tourists.
Uh-huh. Got in touch with your real heritage, huh?
I sure did. I was like Conan O'Brien. My red beard fit right in.
Whatever, they knew you were some terrible Viking. They're familiar with the Vikings in those parts.
They remembered my people from before. And they're
like, no!
Bring up the drawbridge! Do not let
Alan
him in.
The Red!
How is your life, Jeff? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a little bit on a cold right now. Apologies for my voice.
You've fathered a child, as in the last year or so.
Yeah, you're still on that. It's been a little while now, but it's
How do I love experience. Your child more than you? How is this a bigger deal to me?
For one, I don't know, and also I didn't know we'd established that was what it was happening.
So yeah, that's, no, you that's are a father.
And you love my child more than I love my child.
Oh, absolutely. I'm more cognizant of him. I speak of him in hushed tones
constantly.
And reverenced admiration.
Constantly. My understanding is you have company meetings, big, deep, you know, inner sanctum stuff, and all you do is talk about my son and wonder what we can do to bring Guy Mathias to the masses.
Yes. No, I do. Absolutely.
My wife did enter him in a Gerber baby competition.
Did he win?
The problem with the Gerber things is you have to create a Gerber account just to vote, so no one who's going to bother to do that? I wouldn't. I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. I don't feel like you answered the question. Did he win?
No, of course not. I don't even know what's going on with it. We didn't publicize it at all. We just, you know, it is what it is.
It
really is. In very exciting news, this week I opened a college savings account for the wee lad. So
wait, did you really? You would pay for his college?
No, I would much prefer for him, I mean, you know, to get scholarships, et cetera, grants, loans, if it has to come to that, you know. But I figure I should plan now and prepare. I might also start setting aside mission money, because if you do a little bit at such an early age, it won't be a big deal. Ideally, though, too, I hope the boy gets a job in high school, saves money, pays for his own mission. You know, that's what I'm hoping for as a parent. Want him to learn self-reliance, all that good stuff.
The best way to do that is with a promise of failure if they screw up.
And now you're going to tell me how Cortez set fire to his ships, which is actually hearsay and not the exact story.
You weren't there. I was.
I was there. I watched them wipe out the native populations.
Well, I'm glad that you're pampering the
way
for a young guy.
I'm glad that you see the negative and trying to
make
be responsible
him weak.
And save money.
His hands will be like pudding his entire life. Soft and jelly-like.
No, see, here's the beauty of it. If he doesn't need any of it, then great. I've saved up a bunch of money that I can cash out later on. So that's fine.
Yeah, but it's not aggressively growing because you have it set in a place where he can access it when he needs it in 30 years.
Sort of. It doesn't quite work that way. He's a beneficiary. But
I'm convinced, Jeff, that every move you make as a parent is probably going to be flawed by my thinking. There's likely very little you can do that I will agree with. Because we come from such different places. That's why this show is so good. Our differing opinions. You know, our show is amazing. We should win an award. You should enter the show in the equivalent of the Gerber Baby Contest for podcasts.
We won two awards last year, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
We won Best News Podcast.
Oh, yeah. The original Mormon News Podcast.
Yeah, we are the original. I'm looking at all the rest of you copycat posers. You know who you are.
Your show numbers aren't even in the hundreds like ours.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm proud of striving to be financially responsible with my children, and that's been good, and that's the life.
Well, that's the big news for the week. Well done. Good work, Jeff.
I guess so. I feel like, well, we also had a bit of a Thanksgiving appetizer dinner. We have friends we usually do Thanksgiving with every year, but they went on a trip to Iceland this time around, so we're not getting together this week for Thanksgiving because of that. And so instead we had basically an everything
that's
but the
equivalent of me saying week. I can't come over because I'm playing tennis on the moon. They're not actually in Iceland, Jeff. They just don't like you anymore.
Okay.
Hey, oh, I totally do that Thanksgiving with you guys. I'm on the moon today. I'll be back probably next week, maybe. Sorry.
Well, that's great. So anyway, we had a delightful dinner doing that, and everything has been just wondrous. How is your life, Al? You ready for Black Friday?
Are they really in Reykjavik?
Where your company is going to lose everything on Black Friday because it's run by you? How does that feel?
No.
I question all of your business decisions because clearly you don't know anything.
I feel like I struck a chord with that Iceland crack. Maybe they really are in Iceland and they're not just next door and don't want to come over.
If they're not in Iceland, they're doing a very good job with the Photoshopped pictures. Like really high quality work. So
I just want you to do a Google search for Iceland photos and see if you're matching there with what you're finding.
And I have been to Iceland, so I can vouch for some of the landscapes.
Okay.
And I actually went there. That was also not a front where I was trying to escape anybody else. I went. It's true.
But you went with the full intent of picking up on women, Icelandic women.
That's the only intent to go anywhere, as far as, isn't that why people travel?
Naturally.
It changes when you get married, because then you just hang out and get food.
then you go to Iceland for the local fair, and it's not nearly as satisfying.
Then you say, "Honey, where's the nearest Sears? Let's go look at some Craftsman tools."
It's lifetime guarantee. Then go back to Black Friday. Yeah, no, it's gonna be big. I fully expect to destroy my business on the Black Friday. From now on, it'll be termed Black Friday because that is the day where businesses went out of business on that day. That kind of thing. Uh-huh. I actually don't have a problem with the tradition of shopping on Black Friday. I try to go out and get in at least one fight. I'll go to Walmart at midnight because I'm very passionate about retail purchases saving $28. Hope to wrestle on the floor of an aisle in a Walmart somewhere for an Xbox bundle.
Okay, let me ask you this. You have a Walmart in Cameron. I mean, I've been there, right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the anchor for the greater largely rural
area. Oh, it's beautiful
there, So does that Walmart, and Cameron's got, what, 20,000 people maybe?
About 10,000 people,
Okay, so 10,000 people. You have the Walmart, but it anchors a larger region. Does a Walmart in a place like Cameron get swamped on Black Friday? Does it go crazy? Or does crazy Black Friday stuff really only get to urban areas and suburbs, not when you're far enough out?
No, it goes crazy. People will be parked up on the lawn like blocks away, walking through streets that are just stopped. They're just crammed with cars, parked right in the middle of the street. It'll be madness, Jeff. Walmart does a good job, though, because they put all this stuff out, and then you just can't, buy it until a certain time.
They just tease you. They say, "Here it is."
They don't do the wait outside and we'll open it when we're ready thing, which has been the cause of much
Mervin's
death
commercials.
And destruction.
Open, open, open.
That was
open,
a great commercial open, for JCPenney.
That was Mervin's.
Whatever. I'm eating an Oreo, people. Don't judge me for opening this.
I heard that. So I don't know who at Oreo decided the top opening way was better.
It's 1,000 times better. Like 1,000 times.
Okay, now put it in your mouth. Crunch down on it. Let's really hear the crunch. It's like I want this like Food Network level of crunch from eating it. I want to hear it. I don't hear anything. This is just dissolving. All right, fine. Whatever. So Thanksgiving should be fun for everybody, and we hope all of you, whatever you're doing. I hope I think my ward is supposed to have a turkey bowl, and I'm not sure if I'm in charge of it. If I am, I haven't done anything for it. So
are you much of a football player, Jeff?
Yeah. When you look at me, the first thing that comes to mind is
marathon
football
runner.
is probably the kicker. Mm-hmm. That's what people say when they
You're
see
wiry. Me. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm wiry, yeah. Laces out, Dan. Laces out, Dan. So I don't know what's gonna go on with that.
I feel like we are bored with our own lives right now.
We kind of are. It's a quiet week, and that's okay.
It's a really quiet week. Not a lot going on.
And then in a couple of weeks, we're going back home for Christmas and such, so I'm looking forward to that.
We're looking forward a month from now. That is...
It's not even a month from now. You don't even understand, dude. When you live here, you live right by your family. It's fun. You go home. I'm there for a couple of weeks, so I get to settle in California. It's not a fleeting trip or anything. I get to relax. Check off all my favorite food places. Oh,
yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Maybe this year my goal is to actually go up to L.A.
Gross. Okay.
We never go up there. Daniel, my wife is like does not know Los Angeles at all, so I want to show
No one should have to know Los Angeles. That place is a hole.
Yeah, a lot of it is. Yeah.
If you go north of Los Angeles, Camarillo, Ventura, Santa Barbara, lovely area.
South of
Los Angeles, Anaheim, Placentia, Dana Point, lovely area. San Diego, beautiful. L.A., no one should ever have to go there.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to Mormon news then.
Would you agree, Jeff?
Yeah. A lot of L.A. is terrible. I mean, I'm not going to defend most of it. It's got its nice parts. And it has interesting cultural things. There's good stuff in L.A. But overall, a lot of L.A. is trash.
So, yeah, Mormon news this week. There's really nothing going on.
We can't say that, Al, because now they have now they're just going to hit pause and go back and not listen to the rest of the episode.
We got a few things.
We defy you to be more entertained than you will after we talk about these hard-hitting items.
There's one campaign that some critics have called boring, but we call exciting. Coming from the church. Some critics, not to be named, would find it underwhelming. But
okay, so what Al is referencing is the church's Christmas campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say this. There was a time when I thought it was really novel. I think it was it two Easters ago when they first did their big social media push, or was it starting with Christmas? I don't remember. But back then it was like
Because of Him campaign.
Because of Him was great, caught on, made a lot of sense. Is it wrong that in some ways I feel a little let down that now I expect every Christmas and Easter there will be some kind of hashtag campaign surrounding the holiday? I guess do I feel disappointed about that? I don't know. Because it's still good stuff. We're sharing important messages about Christ.
All right, what is the campaign? Walk us through this campaign, Jeff.
Okay, the campaign this year is called A Savior is Born. So it invites everyone to focus their celebrations on the Savior and his birth, life, and resurrection, what it means to us personally. There will be a number of things they'll be doing here with A Savior is Born. So starting this weekend, it'll be on Sunday, November 29th. They're kicking it off. It's focused on, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And there will be a video, an interactive website, an animation video about why we need a Savior, daily Christmas GIFs, not GIFs, everyone, GIFs, creating a digital Advent calendar, a phenomenal social campaign featuring 12 YouTube stars and their interpretation of the phrase "A Savior is born." Lots of shareable stuff is going to go.
Wait, why would you call
so
it?
So you can watch all these things. Share.
Why would you call it a GIF?
That's what they're officially. That's what they're called, a GIF.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
It is a graphics interchange format. Graphics, Jeff. It's not graphics.
Okay, where are you going with this?
I'm saying it's a GIF.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but the actual person who created the file type says it's GIF, and we've all been saying it wrong.
By what
this
authority?
Is a different discussion.
Where do you see this?
On the internet, so I know it's true.
No, you're lying.
Just like us, where many of you were on Facebook this week, probably aren't even listening to this, about when we talked about refugee stuff and posted some things, where apparently we need to do a better job delineating between ourselves and the church because people might be confused and think that we are an official church.
No, absolutely not. No, This Week in Mormons is the voice for the leadership of the church.
That is not true. That is not official. We by no means stand by those comments. And
I speak specifically for Quentin L. Cook, if I may. I'm somewhat of a surrogate, Arrested Development style.
And I am an Aaron.
To
Elder Razband.
To my you are an Aaron. Meaning you give me your hands to hold up, Jeff.
The question is, who's Jethro? That's the question.
Oh, Jethro naturally would be Lauren Thomas. I think we could all agree on that.
Sure, yeah. Let's name a random friend you and I share who no one listening to this show knows. That's a beautiful reference, Al.
David
well
Smith.
Done.
Big fat David Smith. He's our Jethro.
Okay, so they're going to have a lot of stuff going on here. All these different videos, celebrities doing stuff, widgets you can share if any of you have blogs and what have you and want to share widgets about this. You're welcome to and able to do so. So there's a lot going on. It seems a little bit more diversified perhaps than years past is what I'm picking up on. Like other years, we pretty much had the video and then the hashtag accompanying it and everybody just shares it around and has feel goods. Maybe some interactivity of sharing why A Savior is Born matters. But now we have YouTube stars. We have interactive widgets. We have a lot of fun stuff this holiday season.
So go to Christmas.Mormon.org and just be excited with all the nifty things.
Now, Al, why would some people say this is boring?
Oh, I don't know. They could say it was boring because it's not interesting. Because they're focusing on old style, like blog widgets. Why would we care about blog widgets? That's a great question.
that it because the blog is Mormon blog could be because they're robust and 5 years behind the time.
I have yet to see the GIFs. I've yet to see them. They may be really funny. I mean, if they were all from like Modern Family with just captions, it was like a savior is born. I'd be like, well, that was kind of funny. I like that. That's interesting. That's clever. Or maybe like office quotes and things where they're like working it in. I see if they went that route, it was sort of like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints .tumblr.com. Sure. That would be interesting. I would be entertained by that. But this way is much more serious.
That is not dignified enough for the great work of Salt Lake. How
that's
dare
true.
You?
Quite dignity.
How dare you? It's funny, though. You touch on an interesting point, though. How we're very buttoned up. And that's, I mean, I know we try to be reverent about things that merit reverence and act appropriately. But at the same time, you know, we are very formal about a lot of stuff. And I don't know if we want to switch gears completely, but if you saw that Elder Ballard was in Europe this week touring refugee camps.
Yes.
And the fact that he and Elder Kieran were in like normal business casual clothes doing this and not in their suits. It wasn't jarring to me, but it definitely caught my eye. I said, they're like hanging out.
Wait, what?
How great is that?
And what were they wearing? Elder Ballard was in a U of U shirt, wasn't he?
No, he was wearing a Ford Edsel Forever shirt. Never forget the Edsel. Never forget the Edsel. Let's do view all. Dang you, Deseret News, and your insistence that I view multiple pages.
17 photos there? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in that.
No, wait,
See, at first they're buttoned up. They got a kid hula hooping. Still wearing the thing. Where's the photo of him dressed down? Because that's the money.
So he went to Germany and Greece to visit refugee camps. Refugee camps, as you would say it.
No, I would say refugee. You would say refugee. Based on your GIF love.
Yeah, whatever, Jeff.
But continue.
So,
tell me more.
So he goes here and kind of a great time for him to be out and about. Supporting refugees, showing love, saying how important it is to make sure they feel the love of Christ, especially during the season. Particularly while many of his counterparts, i.e. the Mormon people in America, are hypocritically denying that they should be inconvenienced by refugees at all. So, well done, Elder Ballard. Well done. I speak on behalf of all great churches everywhere, if I may. Thank you.
And I speak for the trees.
Yeah. He's the Lorax. But, you know, Elder Ballard not in a suit looks like he's put on a few pounds, too. That guy, the handsome looking man.
The suits do a good job hiding.
Suits really do.
Elder Kieran, though, on the other hand, looks very fit. He looks like he's ready to go jogging.
He could be a CrossFit model.
I'm pretty sure he works at REI on the weekends.
I bet he does.
I have no doubt. But I love seeing him like, I mean, I don't know. It's something funny about finally seeing a photo when it's not at, like throwing a first pitch at a baseball game, which even then they'll wear a Dodgers jersey over their white shirt and tie. Right?
Yeah.
Actually saying, guess what? We're at a refugee camp. Maybe we can just like, I don't know, dress comfortably.
We
like
should not
people.
Be in a suit and tie amongst people that are scrounging for bread.
And I some of the line, the interesting thing here is that Elder Ballard stressed how much he was not able to process the gravity of the situation. Until he was actually there. He basically said, you know, you see photos of it, but unless you're here in person, then you really get it. And you see the magnitude of this and how crazy this is. And
the scale of the human tide has to be seen to be believed, he said.
Yeah. And I like that he said, the Lord has made it clear that one of the great responsibilities of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that we're to feed the hungry and the poor. We are to reach out and take care of them.
Good.
Boom.
Do thou likewise, people.
And we could politicize it. And the one thing I want to be clear about, I've actually enjoyed the conversation about refugee stuff from last weekend, what people have shared, you know, talked about on our Facebook page. And we fully understand that the political realities of stuff, of course, are different in some ways from our spiritual and ethical obligation to people. I understand that, you know. What I don't understand is people getting up saying that 200,000 Syrians are going to descend upon the United States.
Well, they're coming across the Bering Strait. as prophesied. And then when they get here, the children of Ephraim, we have to fall on their necks with kisses. That's the rule. It's in the Doctrine and Covenants. We have to. As they come from the North Country, we will fall on their necks with kisses. Syria, obviously, the North Country.
Naturally. I mean,
Utah, of course, quite literally. The tribe of Ephraim.
Wouldn't that be great if when the tribes were carried off into the north, all this time it really just meant like Syria? It's like, no, guys, we only went like 200 miles away. We're just up here now. That's all it is. That's the north.
Hey, guys.
We didn't even get up to Anatolia. We're just hanging up here in
I'm sorry,
are
you
Syria.
Under the impression that the tribes went north to Antarctica in a hidden area?
Well, see, by definition, one would not go north to Antarctica, Al. So that's your first problem. You would go south
for
Antarctica.
That's, north to the north south. Pole, Jeff.
Maybe, except there's no land there. It's just, you know, it's ice and sea. So I think that the tribes of Israel are the Sami people in Scandinavia.
They went as north
as
they could.
When you go to northern, when you're in northern Sweden and Finland,
why would you go that far? I would just go to I would go to Syria.
What do you want to do? Go to Ukraine? Have part of your country taken away by Russia? That doesn't
sound
like fun.
There is quite a bit of history there in Ukraine, up along the Dnipro River, onto the Russia. Even into Asia, there's quite a bit of settling of tribes of Israel. Yes?
My guess is the tribes of Israel are all just hanging out up in northern Russia. Because it's
Siberia
is a
hotspot for tribes of Israel. That is true.
It's what they tell me. And that's why the problem is it's being taken over by Chinese immigrants. And so we're going to have a problem
that's
eventually.
That's how they get jacked. So this week, did you know, Jeff? And you did. I know because you wrote an article. or
I did
Jared
not write
Jones. Our Twim's own Jared Jones wrote this article. The stakeout in Boston that was planning to try a shortened block. 45-minute meeting blocks and to make a 2-hour and 15-minute total block would have been delightful. They were out out in Boston planning on trying this out. They canceled plans to start it. They were going to start it in January because they decided that it was it was not within church guidelines. So they didn't try it. I like the idea of trying this. They were trying it, and then they were going to do fewer meetings, like firesides were going to be a little bit more planned out and have one a month instead of one a week sort of thing. That sort of stuff was going to become a focus, and then people out living and doing instead of being in church.
Well, no, they said they were going to reduce firesides, choir practices, and other meetings. Basically, the idea is to be able to spend time with your family. And, you know, make the Sabbath a delight with the family. That's the whole thing going on right now.
But they didn't end up getting to try it. I'm sad that they didn't get to try it because I think, there's two lines of thought with this. One is maybe by, having a little bit more church there, it makes us suffer, not suffer, it makes us go and attend. I didn't mean to say that. No, but like by just having that as our standard, we go and participate. If you started shortening it, would we continue to moan? Would we wish that it was only an hour if it was down to two? Maybe.
I don't know. Because the main thing that's different is while they consolidated the meeting block in 1980 into the 3-hour block, before that, I believe the total time at church was still 3 hours, right? It was just when you went to different points throughout the day. But the class periods were still what they are, if I'm not mistaken. Yes?
Yeah,
no?
Okay.
And so yeah, I don't know. The weird thing here, though, is they were also going to put sacrament meeting at the end, which does sort of contravene what the brethren and sisters have been pushing out regarding the Sabbath delight thing. Remember, if you remember in those trainings back in April or so, they encouraged any stakes or wards that were currently having sacrament meeting at the end of the block to flip it around to the front.
Now, what do you...
And so it's kind of interesting.
What do you think from like a primary standpoint? Because everybody that's commented on this article, both on Facebook and here on our site, have said something to the effect of like, if you're in primary, good. 2 hours babysitting these kids is too much. We're not getting good lessons out of this. Agree or disagree? Explain your concerns.
Well, no, in general, I agree with you. I mean, I've been in primary before, and those kids get really tired. I mean, you break, you have roughly, what, 50 or 45 minutes of class time. And maybe for the older kids, that kind of works. But when you're teaching five-year-olds, you spend the bulk of the time eating snacks with them and talking and this and that. And you maybe do like a 15-minute lesson, and you hope they pay attention and get something out of it. So if anyone could benefit the most from a shortened block, I would argue it's primary.
The children.
I don't know how much other things would benefit. Jeff. It's hard for them to be there for that long. Other things I'm not so sure. I've never felt like sacrament meeting is too long, personally. Like, it's fine as far as the length. I'm really looking at my watch like saying, oh my gosh, when is sacrament meeting going to be over? Ugh, it's so long. It goes by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
For me. Most of the time. Gospel doctrine is of decent length. I think it's pretty normal for what you would want to have a substantive.
It's so funny because there's some weeks where I would happily double the sacrament meeting time. I would happily double the gospel doctrine time. But then if you have a bad teacher in gospel doctrine, please give me any chance of just getting out of there. This is terrible. You know, like it's one of those balances where maybe right now is to allow for crappy teachers somewhere in there and bad talks and stuff. And they're like, yeah, on the good weeks, we'll leave you one more. On the bad weeks, we're going to get you out of there within an hour. And so you can just plan on that. So it's going to work.
Yeah. I think the one area that could benefit, I can't speak for Relief Society. Many of us can say the priesthood meeting, which can be rough. And a lot of the time in priesthood meeting, I believe Jared mentions this in the article in general, with all the, you almost always get double announcements in priesthood meeting. You know, everyone meets together at first, then you announce the same stuff after you break for your quorum. And you maybe get 20 or 25 minutes for a lesson at the time. Maybe 30 if you're lucky.
Now, I do wonder, I wonder why they weren't able to try this block, though. Do you think, did they get further instruction from their Area 70, maybe?
This is like unto a state's rights issue. It's basically the same idea. You have the equivalent of the federal government coming and telling the states what to do.
This is how it's going to work.
And last time I checked the church constitution, that is not a power reserved for Salt Lake, but whatever. The one thing I wonder about this, though, is it's nice to say 45-minute meetings back-to-back, but what about the time in between? Because right now we have 10 minutes in between each different class. So really it would get shortened even more if you, because I think it's reasonable to keep the 10 minutes. I mean, people need some time to go, and it's unrealistic to say, all right, sacrament's done, instantaneously everyone shuffles into their different rooms and you're just starting, like, boom, within a minute or two. It's just not going to happen.
All right.
So then realistically, you'd have a 45-minute sacrament meeting maybe, and then like 30 minutes of gospel doctrine maybe, and then 35 minutes of priesthood.
Who's to say?
Interesting idea. I've been to a branch before where it was only 2 hours long in the branch, and I believe they didn't do was it Sunday school? I don't remember which of the second or third hour they knocked out.
Whatever. Hopefully they left Sunday school and alternated between Sunday school and priesthood. That's the goal.
You could do that. That would be interesting. I wonder how that would be. I mean, thinking about my current calling, I don't know how much I would honestly like it if I was only able to meet with my elders' quorum once every other week. I would feel more, I'd feel more out of sync with the doings of my quorum.
It's neither here nor there.
Therein.
In further news, there is a, Elder Eyring rededicated the Montreal, Quebec Temple. And that is the correct pronunciation, I hope you know. So,
okay, tell me more.
So he did that. You can now go to the temple again if you're in Montreal, Quebec. We see Temple there and the poutine. Again.
If you remember, it was rather interesting this temple got closed the way it did because they had problems. Like, it had structural problems, even though it's one of those mini temples.
Well, the French built it, so I think everybody sort of expected it not to last almost at all.
The French did not build this. It was built by the Canada, you silly man.
Then, whatever. And And also, the other major news that I haven't mentioned yet, Jeff. Bryce Harper.
Take me there.
National League's MVP.
What about him?
This really is a slow news week, people. We're not going to try and take you a full hour. We're not. We are going to hit the hard-hitting things, have a moment of gratitude with you, then get out of here. But Bryce Harper as the MVP, the first time since Dale Murphy we've had a Mormon MVP, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
I just made that up. I don't know if that's a stat. I just wanted to. I want to make sure Dale Murphy got his credit.
I believe he was the MVP, wasn't he?
I feel like that sounds right, just because the Braves really have nothing left to live for, and they need something in the 80s to really put their hat on, you know?
Yeah. All right, back to some Temple stuff. First, we're gonna do the less fortunate one, then we'll go out on the prettier one. So there's a group, there's Satanic Temple, the California Satanic Temple.
Those are the ones behind those Starbucks cups, in case you're wondering.
And so the Minneapolis chapter basically is putting together a list to sort of have yourself removed from the baptisms for the dead list. The idea is you add your name to this Google Doc or whatever they have. And then when you die, that you're saying, hey, church, don't baptize me because it is, quote, an assault on the dignity of those who died. And represents an affront to the religious
community. Well, they're mad because
a
bunch of atheists joined the church after they died, apparently.
Yeah. And according to the atheists, we, you know, like a lot of people misunderstand baptisms for the dead. We made them. We baptized them and said, you're Mormon now. That's the end of the discussion. Thank you for playing.
Well, they had a good run.
So that's kind of interesting. The funny thing about this is they say they're not going to like present the church with a list. If the church wants it, it's going to have to come and just get the database from the church.
What?
So I asked you,
what's great
is Salt Lake going to contact them and say, hey, do you have that list we were looking for? We'd really appreciate your help.
I like that once you're dead, in order for them to, or for us to not baptize you, all that's needed is your first and last name. And your email address is obviously necessary in order for you not to be baptized. Don't worry.
See, what
they won't mark it to you, I'm
sure. What the church should do, that's a good point. What the church should do is say, hey, we'll help you out with this list. Get their first and last names, their date of birth, their place of
where
birth.
Where they died.
Maybe a few other.
Who their parents
very
were.
Very important.
And yeah. It's the prank that keeps on pranking. And then they're like.
And get all this and then say, and then when you're done, you can give us the list and we'll look it over and use it in the temple.
And on the, when you click submit, there would be a picture. There'd be a picture of Elder Russell M. Nelson up in the corner with his back to us. And as you click submit, he'd turn around and be like, succubus! And that would be the face that you'd be like, oh no, I just gave him everything they need to baptize me when I'm dead.
I was hoping it would be a screen cap from that awkward video of Elder Nelson sitting in a room with primary children just encircling him, singing to him. It's very strange.
Not O'Dory, not O'Dory.
That video makes me uncomfortable. So that's happening. But then on the other end, the open house for the Tijuana Temple is going on, right?
Tijuana?
I can say this. So... people, my mom doesn't listen to the show, so I'm going to talk about this. So my sister's trying to get my mom to go to tour the Tijuana Temple over Thanksgiving, actually. But my mom, being a baby boomer of baby boomer age, is effectively afraid to go to Mexico.
What's in Mexico that she's afraid of?
Tijuana.
I've been to Mexico
warfare.
And tried to get a churro. They don't make them there like they do in America.
No, but we did have freshly caught shrimp tacos, if you remember. That was delightful.
When you and I went there. That's right.
That was fun. So, anyway, it just makes me laugh. People, you can go to Tijuana. It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to have a great time.
Can we please say in correct American pronunciation of Tijuana, Jeff?
No, Tijuana.
No.
Okay, Tijuana. So, if you go down to Tijuana, it's open right now, and the church has published, as they often do, interior and exterior photos of the temple. I've long been interested in this one because its architecture is very, very evocative of colonial Baroque style in Mexico at the time. And the church really tried to capture that. And I think they did a great job. So we've all been kind of excited. The interior is beautiful, especially that picture they have of the staircases that go up to the second level.
Oh, yeah.
I love all the wrought iron work in the staircases and stuff. Very, very cool. I just think that's just awesome work done on that one. I wish I could go.
Let's go.
Okay. I don't think the open house will be going on by the time I'm there. But then again, I've got to look it up now. Right now.
Okay. Good.
To fill time.
In conclusion this week, I am thankful for
Jeff. Oh, we have a conclusion.
For Guy Mathias and all the women in my life.
Dang it, it ends this weekend.
I'm thankful for the Tijuana Temple. I'm thankful for Elder Russell M. Nelson and that great prank he's playing by hosting that satanic website to troll people and get their names so that he can baptize them. I think it's hilarious.
Perfect, yeah.
Jeff, what are you thankful for?
You, Al. Just you.
With that, we leave you from the shadow of the everlasting...
Not true! I am thankful... Well, the things that... When I really ponder stuff, I mean, I am very thankful for my family. I have my wife, I love my beautiful son. Great things. I've got so many great things on that front. I'm grateful, though, that I live in a part of the world where I don't struggle or I don't go without... Where a question for me is whether I'm like what I'm going to have for lunch, not if I'm going to be able to have lunch, right? Like I'm very fortunate. We all are. Most of you listening to the show are likely more fortunate because you at the very least have access to a computer or something to stream it, or perhaps even a smartphone. But I'm very thankful for that, especially as we talk about the refugees and all those things going on. It's a good reminder that we have been given much, both temporally and spiritually. And so we too must.
Again, this is a jab as us speaking for all the churches in the world that you should help refugees. We are the official spokespeople of every people affiliated with Jesus. I just feel like you should know that.
I'll sign off on that one. We actually have the affidavits to prove it.
All right, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Are you an Episcopalian?
It's time to go get your Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving, Jeff. Next time I talk to you, I expect your house will be decorated in some sort of festive way.
My house is decorated. Look behind me, dummy.
That's all you're doing?
That's a gar. There's other stuff you can't see. There's stuff around. We don't go crazy because we're not home for Christmas.
What if we set a companionship goal for you to really try this time?
Is that okay? And my goal for you will be for you to ask more open-ended questions during the discussion.
Okay.
Don't ask so many yes-no questions with the investigator. Really try to draw a response.
No, that's good. And you quit singing Gentile songs. We're going to get along fine, Elder. It's going to be great.
Goals all around. This is a perfect week for me. I'm very happy.
All right, man. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Jeff.
Oh, and everyone, join us on the places. I'm just going to do them all for real. So send us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Go to our website, thisweekinmormons.com.
Heard of it.
Join us on the social media.
I've been there.
Where you can interact and pretty much berate us. That seems to be what's more popular lately. But berate us. Have fun. We don't care. Enjoy. We will berate you in kind in the spirit of Thanksgiving. It's going to be wonderful. So that's all.
All right. See everybody.
Have a good time with your family. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons. And we'll talk to you.